only Americans who's concerned with the silly business is the ones who have no life.
$5 million within the past 2 years.
$5.9 million in 2 years. $5.9 million they received in 2 years. That facility right there.
On the heels of the Somalian fraud disaster, the question arises: where did third world refugees learn to construct this staggering fraud industrial complex?
What we see in Minnesota is not a handful of bad actors committing crimes. It's a staggering industrial scale fraud.
And I said, hey, I'm just wondering, I've got a grandson who's looking for childcare, and I wonder if this might be a good facility. And they had the door open, and I looked, and there were no kids. There was like a couch and a table with a couple chairs. And I said, well, are the kids out back playing, or what kind of place is this? And the guy said, you go, you go. And he almost pushed me out the door, and then he followed me down the street to my car. And that's when I said, wait a minute, there's something going on here, and that's got to be maybe 5 years ago.
Illegal immigrants are given $7,000 per person in the form of Minnesota Care benefits here in Minnesota, paid for by Minnesota taxpayers.
All of a sudden, there was a boom, and people were buying very expensive homes and posting about those homes.
Where was all the money coming from?
Everybody knew, but nobody had the courage to speak about it because they understood the repercussions. So I decided to speak out.
Abdi went on a trip to Africa early this year. When he got there, he says he was attacked and pepper sprayed for information he put online regarding feeding our future.
Turns out that the Quality Learning Center, supposed to be the Quality Learning Center, has received 13 violations and has been investigated multiple times just in the last 4 years by the Department of Human Services in Minnesota. You have people coming from the state 13 different times in the last 4 years and they didn't notice this? Obviously, this is something that needs to be looked into to see just how much did state and city officials play a role in all of this fraud.
Likely, there were many enablers, but per usual, a main road leads to the Obama subversion network.
We got to make sure every kid has a meal. That was Michelle Obama. Ilhan Omar says, oh, we could do that in Minnesota. I'll start a whole new program. So now she's using all of the legalese from Michelle Obama. Go to Minnesota. They create this Feeding Our Future. No kid starves. And where did all the money end up? In Kenya, China, Somalia. Who's linked to Kenya? Barack Obama. Who's in China? Tim Walz.
I mean, he basically offered a shrug and a smile. Well, there's $1 billion missing on the table, and someone's going to have to answer for it.
And now that fraud has spread like a cancer across these United States.
I would say our country should be more fearful of white men across our country because they are actually causing most of the deaths within this country.
Nick Shirley, I hope you see this video. Please come to Columbus, Ohio. The reporting you did in Minnesota was amazing. Thank you for that. And if you come to Columbus, Ohio, you will find the exact same fraud.
Based on what we've all seen in Minnesota, if tens of thousands of Somalis are not deported back to their third world country, and if government officials like Tim Walz and other people in Minnesota are not sent to jail or at least indicted, let me just say this. This administration, the concept of Make America Great Again, and for that matter, the rule of law, are all completely full of shit.
This once relatively healthy country has been sickened from the inside out. We must face this awful truth and eliminate the cause before it is too late.
Going this Somali fraud to continue under your watch
of the people of Minnesota.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
We'll be right back.
traditions, pure delight. Optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWars.
Wake up, folks! Sprint this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms!
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. You can follow us, of course, on X and share the links, band.video. In studio with me is Elizabeth Lane. You can follow her at I'm Elizabeth Lane. That's I am Elizabeth Lane or ElizabethLane.co. She's a fearless investigative journalist and one of America's leading voices in independent media. As COO of Unified TV, talk show host, and documentary producer, she exposes hidden truths in international politics, diplomacy, and geopolitics, challenging mainstream narratives with rigorous analysis and uncompromising commentary. And that's what we're here for today, is rigorous analysis and uncompromising commentary. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. And we're having a very lively discussion right before it. We're like, we should save this. We got to save this for the air. Because you want to see peace between the factions.
100%.
You want to see the temperature brought down and the Candace Owens faction and the Alex Jones faction come together to fight the New World Order.
Yes, I'm part of this group right now, which is millions of people out there who's like, what is going on? Like, what's happening?
I'm so, right there with you.
Okay, so can we discuss this?
Yes.
And be honest about everything, okay? So let's try. I know you've been honest. You're actually, you know, you're just expressing what you feel, right? So let's start with the assassination. When Charlie died, if you remember, almost no one was touching this case. Almost nobody, okay? It was only Candace. And Candace doesn't need my defense here. Like, she's much smarter and wittier and more eloquent than I can ever be. So she can handle herself. It's just, I feel like someone needs to speak up. I spoke to a friend of ours who's a mutual friend with me and Candace. And I was like, you got to speak up. You got to say something that Alex and Candace cannot fight. These two cannot fight. And he was like, oh, no, I'm staying away from this. And I'm like,
that's probably smart. I probably should have followed that direction,
yeah,
too.
So. But the thing is, here's the reality. This kind of stuff is not good for independent media, right?
Right.
Because people put their trust in us. They pay membership fees. They contribute. Because they believe us. And then all of a sudden, they have like two favorites fighting. And all it does is makes, you know, certain people in mainstream media very happy. And they're
That's
like, we
true.
Told you. We told you, you know? So here's the reality. If not for Candace, no one would even be speaking about Charlie, okay? This would be buried in a week or two. Yes, Alex would have come out and, you know, probably would have spoken about this a couple times. But Candace drove this train. Candace awoke people into, you know, this whole thing and said, hey, something smells here and I can prove this. And she was right. Let's agree on basic. Like, when we try to de-escalate something, we got to start with what do we agree on, okay? So do we agree that Charlie Kirk's assassination was some kind of weird cover-up? Yes or no? Something
yes,
smells
yes,
about
yes.
this case,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's a lot that stinks about it. Yeah.
Right. So that we agree on. Now, let's walk through this. Candace starts with saying, well, I don't like how Israel is behaved after the
right.
assassination, right? And I agree. Well, here's something that we know. We know that Charlie declined certain donations from Zionist donors. And then we know that next day, Netanyahu is on TV praising his relationship with Charlie. He's not even American. Some country's foreign country president shows up on primetime, books himself, and then goes on and on about how much he loves Charlie and Charlie loves him. Okay, that's weird. Would you agree? Like, yes, your senses tell you that's off, right? Okay, let's start with this. And she did. She started with that. But all of a sudden, she's getting clues from all over the place, including like some kind of, you know, Macron's assassination plan or something. Well, here is my perspective on this. If I was the bad guy here and I was trying to somehow divert Candace Owens because she's a force, okay? She's number one, in the world podcast. What is it? I don't know the ranking. But anyway, she's big. So if I was a bad guy, I would, and diverting her anywhere I could. Now, is this what's happening with Mitch? I don't know. Again, I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying that she's dealing with a lot. She has a show every single day. And I told this to Alex. It's very hard when you are focused on one investigation instead of like multiple headlines. It's easy to cover multiple headlines. Take 20 minutes for each. We're done. Good show. Go home, right? Well, that's not the case. When you're doing an criminal investigation into murder, any seasoned detective can tell you there comes days when you just sit at home and wreck your head, like literally bang your head against the wall because you've got nothing. And then you have to go to square one, start over. This is a hard process. Well, Candace doesn't have that luxury, okay? She's on air every single day. So she decided, and I'm assuming that that's her decision, I'm just going to talk about every freaking tip that comes in. What's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with that is then you are making accusations against real people that aren't valid. So you can't
Okay. So accusations against real people. Who exactly?
Like the congressman that they said was at the assassination.
Okay. Did congressman's life change, according to just one accusation that Candace Owens made?
Probably.
How?
I mean,
how?
Have you seen her fans? I doubt they left him alone.
Well, here's the thing. Guy came out and said.
Wait. This guy is totally innocent. He's a congressman. He had nothing to do with anything. Candace Owens shows his picture to some guy who's never met him. And the guy says, yep, he was at the Charlie Kirk assassination planning meeting. And it was totally untrue. It was completely baseless.
Okay.
And there was video evidence. Luckily, there was video evidence. If there wasn't that video evidence that they're even questioning, even though Candace admits it now, they'd still be going after him. So it's like, That was a completely baseless accusation.
Totally get your point, but that's part of it, right? You know,
I've never accused innocent people of things.
But you're accusing Candace Owens right now, right?
Of what?
And she of like some kind of the bogus
stories
and all of that.
Of accusing an innocent person, she did.
Okay, so here's the thing.
So that's bad. So you're not supposed to do that.
Okay, here's the thing. Do you remember anthrax attacks? I'm not diverting the topic. Do you remember anthrax attacks?
Mm-hmm.
When they accused an innocent scientist and he came out and said, okay, this is bogus, this is not going to happen. Well, that happens. Investigation entails that you're going to make mistakes, you're going to accuse people, and good that this, person came out and said, listen, here's my alibi. This is very easy. I'm debunking this, whatever. So what I can't understand is why is everyone so damn concerned about Candace and how it's going to affect Candace's show, her credibility. It's her business. It's her business. If she wants to do that, she has the right to do that.
Yeah,
you have the right to criticize her.
Well,
for sure.
but that's where it runs into reality, because Alex Jones started off by saying, exactly as you said, hey, this, information is wrong. This Mitch guy is not trustworthy. You shouldn't be running with. As you said, you should be able to say that. You should be able to say, hey, Candace, as your friend, this is not a good path to go down. You're making a mistake 100%. Here. Okay, well, that's all Alex did. And in return, it's like, you guys are sellouts, you're shills. I can't believe I've used to trust you. So it's this like insanity in response. And then, of course, it's that feedback loop where it's like, now we're being attacked. So, we're going to attack back.
You're coming back. Yeah, but that's what fueled all of this.
Okay.
And it shouldn't have, because I get your point. Alex was hurt. I would be too. Because all I'm trying to do is, hey, Candace, like, I love your investigation. Even yesterday, me and Alex talked about this. Like, I'm with her, with Macron. Just one thing that Alex didn't like. And I think Candace's reaction was not because she was hostile towards Alex. I think, and again, this is just me. Candace can speak for herself. I think she honestly, she sees attack from all fronts, which is already unfair. She just does what she said she would do. Just investigate an effing case, right?
I know. So, but when she comes out and says, we have this guy, and she gives him, assures everybody that he's legitimate. She says over and over, everything that he said, we have been able to confirm. Everything that's confirmable, we have been able to confirm. So she imbues him with trustworthiness, brings him on. He says he's 95 to 99% sure he saw Erica Kirk at a pre-planning meeting the day before or 2 days before the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Okay, that's like a very major accusation. She's accusing a widow of having participated in the murder of her husband. She's making that claim.
But she's not accusing she's just giving him the platform. And the deal from the get-go, I understand your concern.
I mean but she's the one that's bringing it forward. She's the one that's presenting it. She's the one that's imbuing it with trustworthiness.
Well, she made the deal with people from the get-go. She made the deal with American people that I'll take you on this ride with me. That was the deal. She told American people, you're going to see what I see. Well, that
I'm going to make stuff up and I'm going to accuse people that are innocent. She didn't say that.
Okay, let's do this. She didn't make stuff up, he did. I agree with you on Mitch, okay? So again, we are conflating two things.
But that's Candace the only thing we're talking about.
So you're saying, like, Candace, what's the ideal situation that you would have done if you were Candace? So let's say you went to church and you prayed, and you came home, and there's an email, and you know, if you are a believer, and I've had that moment myself when I'm like, I want something to be so true that I'm going to put all my energy and belief into, oh my gosh, this must be God sent, right? So let's say she saw this tip. What would have been a smart move? Like, call Mitch, talk to him, investigate him for months, go like, you know, talk to ex-wives and then bring him on. That would have been the smart move.
Or just not bring him on because his story was not trustworthy sort
you,
of
you
on the face of
it. You know what would have happened if she didn't bring him on? She would have gone with, well, I have a source, you know, the source is telling me, and she would have been attacked by everybody. Oh, well, bring the source then. That's what would have happened. So I agree with the conclusion.
But the story is wrong. At least we know, like,
I agree.
Verifiably, portions of the story are wrong. So it was wrong for her to tell everybody that it was accurate, right?
I mean, so which parts are wrong? So you're saying, okay, again, I'm
going to
play
the accusation of the congressman.
Okay, accusation of the congressman. So that's one thing that we already debunked. What other things have been debunked in the story?
Well, nothing about the story has really been confirmed other than the fact that that guy was on the base when he said he was.
So
that's the only thing that's been confirmed.
Did Harpool debunk, you know, his alibi, like other than what he sent, which doesn't really debunk the alibi as I understand time-wise, right?
Yeah, I don't.
I'm just asking general questions. What else was debunked other than the congressman?
Well, the presence of Erica Kirk hasn't been confirmed. Again, the problem is she's making these accusations and then pretending that she's not. That's the issue I have. If the accusation, and that's why I keep going, what is the claim? Because if the claim is, as it appears to be, as, you know, she makes this episode that is that, you know, what did this guy see at Fort Huachaca the day before Charlie's assassination? Answer: Erica Kirk and the head of TPUSA security and Cabot Phillips, apparently. Uh-huh. Okay, so that is an accusation that Erica Kirk and the head of security were a part of the pre-planning meeting, had foreknowledge of the attack. That is a very big
accusation
to make.
Absolutely.
And she's going off of the words of this guy who is completely untrustworthy.
Great. Okay. Question I have, why do you have to defend it, and where is Brian Harpool? Why is he not doing a selfie video saying, hey, I don't know what this chick is about. She's crazy. Here is my alibi. This is where I was. She's literally crazy.
I wish he would. I mean, it would be very
easy
for him to do that. But if I was him, I don't know if I would. So, I mean, put yourself in his position. Imagine for 3 months or whatever, Candace Owens has been accusing you of all sorts of stuff. She accuses you of being on this fort on this particular day. If I was him and I had dead set verifiable proof that I was completely across the country on that day, I wouldn't send it to her. I'd let her dangle. I'd be loving the hell out of all this. She's every day she's digging her hole deeper and deeper. And so then eventually when I did come out with my evidence.
So you wouldn't send it to her even though you just ashamed yourself by literally losing your protectee? He got shot in the neck and you are dangling Candace Owens and not like you're playing this game. You just lost your protectee. The least, first of all, him going on Sean Ryan, I thought that was egoistic move.
That whole thing was weird. His answers were weird. The text messages where he's like, I told him to check the roof and they didn't. Yeah. That guy's clearly trying to cover his butt.
Absolutely.
I don't know if he's involved or anything, but I'm saying that if I was him, I mean, Candace Owens, who the hell is she? She can't demand I show her something. She can't demand I prove where I am
on
a certain day.
And she doesn't
care.
And
I wouldn't want to.
Exactly. And that you have to understand, she doesn't care. All she's doing right now is saying, this is what I have. Brian Harpool, where are you? Why don't you send me something?
And then Brian Harpool sends her an alibi. And
which
she
doesn't
says,
cover it.
How weird is this that he's trying to prove he's not there? I mean, she says in the space that we did, she's like, she was like, why are you trying to prove? If it's no big deal that you're there, then why are you trying
Harrison,
to send me an alibi?
What was the alibi? What was the alibi? I think
the alibi was the plane flights. But what the alibi is, isn't material. She is acting like it's suspicious that he tried to present an alibi. Regardless of what the alibi is, she's using the presentation of the alibi as evidence that something suspicious is going on.
Which I agree that obviously when you accuse a person, they're going to try to, you know, present an alibi. That's okay.
This is the whole issue with Cantor. Like, I have no problem about, like, did Israel kill Charlie Kirk? Like, I'm all in favor of all of that. But she wants to have her cake and eat it, too. She wants to accuse Brian Harpool and demand an alibi, but then say it's suspicious when he provides one. She wants to have this presentation saying Erica Kirk was at this pre-planning meeting. But then when I say that, she says, well, we never said that. We never accused her of being at the meeting. And it's like, okay, you accused her of being at the hotel the day before with somebody who was in the meeting. This is semantics.
Your problem is your problem is just practicalities with Candace, nothing else. So your problem is that she gets emotional when you attack her. That's the problem, right?
Well, no, she changes her stories when she's caught out in a lie. That's
like
the problem.
What stories she changed? What stories?
Like whether Erica Kirk had foreknowledge of the assassination. That is the claim she made, and yet
she didn't make it, but
she's the one with the show. If he'd made the claim, nobody would have heard it. It's her responsibility.
Would it be very different if I said Harrison killed some Jane Doe versus
don't tell me about that.
Oh, sorry, we just totally blew it.
Sorry,
you're good. So it's very different when I say, hey, Harrison killed somebody versus some dude says Harrison killed somebody. Two very different things. And that's where she's not heard. And she tried multiple times. I watched this space. She tried multiple times. Listen, I brought you what I have, which I promised my audience that they would get everything I get. So you debunk it. Go ahead, debunk it. This is what I have. That was a tip that caught my attention. I thought it was weird. If you had been Candace Owens, right, and you saw that this guy has metadata that was on the base, you gotta admit it. It's interesting. Some former Green Beret, weird psycho, by the way. I'm totally off. It's interesting.
It's also like the type of stuff that absolutely, if I was the head of the intelligence, I would be doing. You know, I could so easily whip up a background for somebody.
I agree. But that's Candace's choice. I don't know why we make such a big deal out of it.
It's okay to say it's a bad choice, right? That was a bad choice for her to do.
Well, did anyone even give her a chance to say what's a bad choice? Like, everyone was at her throat. It's like it's 20 seconds after Candace's show. Everybody's boom. Like, proves.
But this is exactly what I was trying to explain on the space yesterday. So I ask her, what is the big deal about, like, why is this Fort meeting such a big deal? She says, well, I didn't want to make it a big deal, but, like, that's a lie. In the video where she introduces the concept of the Fort Huachaca in that episode, she starts the episode by saying, this is a massive bombshell. This is going to force the government to admit that they participated in the assassination of Charlie Kirk, right? She made it a big deal. She pumped it up. She said, not like, hey, this guy might have some interesting things that he may have seen. She said, this is the bombshell. This is going to prove that the
Army have an explanation for that, and it's very simple.
All right, but that is what she said. And then,
no, I agree. Okay, so she did say that.
So when I say, like, why was this Fort such a big deal? She says, well, it was the people's reaction. She says, I didn't want to make it a big deal. I just mentioned this meeting and suddenly everybody freaked out. And so then I'm trying to explain, okay, the reason everybody treated this accusation differently is because this is the first time that Candace Owens has directly accused Erica Kirk of having foreknowledge. That is an escalation. That is something new.
She did not accuse, she implied.
Okay.
Okay. So again, and I can imply that too, because again, guys, I think we forget the first. I don't understand why Erica Kirk is so shocked about this. Here's the thing. Husband dies. You are the first suspect. I don't care if it was, again, let's talk about some Jane Doe. Leave Erica and Charlie out of it. Some Jane Doe in Minnesota gets killed. The first suspect is the wife. I'm sorry. And when the wife... Wow. Yeah,
not when they're assassinated by a sniper from far away.
Well,
I
understand, first, guess what? Candace, the first suspect, I'll give even more, was not Erica Kirk. She protected Erica Kirk as much as she could. When things got harder is when Erica started behaving like a party girl. And this is where I have a problem with Erica Kirk, too, because I was like, I just don't understand this woman. I just don't get it. Like, You know, and let's say, what does Elizabeth Lane know about the grieving widow? Not much. Maybe I've seen two of them in my entire life. But you know who knows about grieving widows? Well, how about Navy SEALs? They know about grieving widows. How about generals, four-star generals? I always say, I wish I recorded this. How many Navy SEALs called me about Charlie's case because they knew I was on this? And they were like, I'll quote one of them, but the same exact story. Lizzie, I've seen a lot of widows in my lifetime, and that chick ain't one of them. Not me.
I've heard that.
What I mean?
My point is, Candace Owen makes this claim. It's a new claim that she's never made before. So people react to it, I think, appropriately. I think they say, Candace is operating on the understanding that, like you just said, Erica Kirk is suspicious. They don't trust her. She doesn't seem like a grieving widow. They're operating that. Okay. Well, there are also millions of people that are operating on Erica Kirk is a grieving widow.
And 100%.
Here this woman is accusing a grieving widow of being part and parcel with the murder of her husband on the basis of this incredibly thin evidence of a lifelong alleged con man who barely remembers a thing from 3 months ago. And so the reaction is appropriate to say, hey, if you're going to make an accusation this big, you need to have better information than what you have. You need to have better sources than what you have.
I'm not saying reaction is not appropriate. You are entitled to whatever reaction you want. You can come out and say, Candace Owens is a crazy person to do that. You can come out and say, Candace Owens is a hero to go against that. Like, whatever you want. Like, it's, again, we live in a free, well, we pretend to live in a free world, but it is a free world. You can do that. And that's why I said at Alex Jones' show that Candace needs to be ready that when she does that, she will get criticized. So she needs to understand that, right? Like, that's something that is kind of on her part. She needs to do. When you open investigation like this to everyone to see, and you're going with every tip that you have, you are going to get some criticism, and you have to have a thick skin, and you have to be okay with that. So what I don't understand is how this became such a big deal between Alex and Candace when it should have been just a very simple phone call. I think you're absolutely dead wrong on Mitch. She would say, well, I want to give him a chance. Great. Well, you know, I respect your work. I'm going to do my own side investigation. Hope you're okay with that. And go on. How did this became this? I just don't get it.
Well, again, I think it's because she's making claims that are not accurate, that she doesn't have the evidence that she should be making. So then people...
Have you always been accurate in your entire life?
I've also never accused innocent people who, and then demanded that they prove to me their alibi.
The problem is she's in front of cameras. I bet you have accused innocent people in your lifetime. That you can't tell me that in your entire lifetime, you never accused someone that didn't do something without a friend or somebody, right? You probably did, but the stakes are higher here, and she has cameras in front of her.
And she needs to have that. With great power comes great responsibility, and she's not wielding that responsibility responsibly. So that's the problem, and it's not good. And then you get attacked for it, and then she says, oh, your reaction is suspicious. It's not suspicious. You made this crazy accusation. Well, I never made that accusation. And it's just like, okay, so you never made the accusation. You don't think it's an assassination, but it is an assassination meeting, and you're crazy if you disagree. But also, we don't even trust this guy. But if you say you don't trust him, you're working for the enemy. And it's just like, what are we doing here? How is this getting us any closer?
I think where both of them, Alex and Candace, need to chill out on is calling each other like agents of some sort. Like,
you're right.
Like,
we're all idiots all on our own, folks.
Yeah, exactly.
Tomorrow is the last day to buy any of our incredible supplements at the alexjonesstore.com, the ultramethylene blue, you name it, and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $25 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. That's not the normal buy one, get one free at the same time. This is a massive deal. On some of the deals, if you get like the more expensive supplement, when you buy one of the inexpensive ones, they're break even or loss leader. AlexJonesApp.com, put that on screen. You get 20% off when you use the app. It's the same shopping cart. So this is crazy, but that's why we can't have these super big sales, because there's got to be some margin of profit there to operate. But we don't mind some loss leaders sometimes, because the products are so good. We have an 80%+ reorder rate on the methylene blue, 75% reorder on average for the other products. Nobody in the supplement industry has that reorder level. These are all the best. They're either the best certified private label from a company, or we go to and get a top formula and go and make it even better. But most of our products are simply private labels of already number one, five-star certified, the best. I mean, we don't like to reinvent the wheel around here, okay? Whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the most studied, whatever is the best, that is what you're going to get. That's what people get our supplements and say, my God, I used to take turmeric to give me some relief from pain and inflammation. Well, why is yours so much better? Because the average turmeric's food grade 4%. This is 95%. That's why Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, a small amount, by the way, is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, was the first 95% curcuminoid. And we got a 95% curcuminoid at Bigly at TheAlexJonesStore.com. So it's real simple. Our creatine gummies is the highest quality type of creatine there is. Go look it up. You'll look at the name we have. Just ask Rock, is this the best creatine? He'll say, absolutely, hands down. Nano concentrated on top of it. I mean, it's just real simple. We treat you like we want to be treated. Plus, we want it to really work so you come back. That's our philosophy. It's real simple. I don't want to sell you something one time. I want a relationship. All I need to do is go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Wide a selection of Patriot apparel. What an adventure to wear it. I need the funds. All this stuff's going on. You see, we're still here because we're fighting them tooth and nail, okay? And if they shut us down, we just go right over to the Alex Jones Network at TheAlexJonesStore.com, also finances, which I don't own, so they can't shut that down. I don't own TheAlexJonesStore.com. Bigly does. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. They do. But I need your support. And let me tell you something. Something like Ultra DNA Revival is an NAD plus booster. And it's got the precursor of NAD, because most people don't absorb NAD. Don't know what that does? Well, you need to look into it. That's just one of the ingredients. Big dose, high-quality organic NAD. The precursor. Because it's the precursor you're able to absorb. Okay? This cleans out your cells. This turbocharges your body. This gives you clarity, energy, focus, makes your telomeres last longer. This goes great with the methylene blue. Also, a ridiculous name, but it actually is true. I didn't come up with a name for this. Ultimate power. we said, hey, make something even better than Turbo Force with natural clean energy without the letdown. This is even stronger than Turbo Force, which was amazing. If you like Turbo Force, get Ultimate Power.
When the robots rise, the skies turn red and the cities burn cold. Circuits hunt the weak and mercy's just a broken code. Only the strong will survive the purge. Only the men of the InfoWar stand ready, armed with truth when the machines bring war.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're tuned in to the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. Our full show continues with Ivan Raiklin joining me via Zoom. Ivan Raiklin can be followed at Ivan Raiklin. He's a retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel. Former Green Beret commander and constitutional attorney with 25 years of service in defense intelligence and special operations. He's the deep state marauder, the secretary of retribution, Ivan Raiklin. How are you, sir?
Good to be back on the InfoWars.
Good to hear from you. Now, I understand you were there at the pipe bomber hearing. Tell us what this hearing was about, what we've learned from it, what your angle on this is.
Yeah, so this was, remember, he was arrested at this point a couple months ago almost, and he has, I haven't heard of whether or not he's pled guilty or not. So anyway, this was supposed to be a detention hearing on whether or not the government is going to keep him or to release him pending the trial dates, right?
Right.
So pretrial confinement. Now, as we remember, that all January 6ers were weaponized against completely, and even though the stance is usually that you release someone pending your trial if they're not going to be a concern of safety, et cetera, for the community. But in this instance, the judge seemed to lean towards releasing Brian Cole Jr.
No way.
That's kind of what it sounded like during the entire hearing.
Are you serious?
No, but before we got to the detention hearing part, there were some last-minute filings that were dropped yesterday. And then the grand jury indictment, I believe, yesterday in the D.C. Circuit Court actually indicted Brian Cole. So he was arrested, and then the indictment only comes yesterday. And it came from the D.C. Circuit Court, which is the city court. And guess what the judge did? The judge said, hey, there's a pending case out there to determine whether or not the D.C. Federal District Court can accept a D.C. Circuit Court grand jury indictment. So it's like everything about this case is, let's just say diplomatically, weird, okay?
That's more than one weird way of putting it, isn't it?
And so his logic, the judge's logic, was that even though the former Chief Justice, Justice Boasberg, who we all know is should be impeached
worst,
and should be convicted in the Senate at a minimum. Anyhow, he was referring to a case that he was involved in that's still pending on appeal. But for now, there's a stay in the sense that wait for the appeal adjudication to determine whether or not this court is going to accept a grand jury indictment from a D.C. Circuit Court. Because D.C. is unique in the sense that you can bring criminal charges both at the city level and at the federal level because it's the same jurisdiction, same territory, right?
So
they have to adjudicate that. I guess pending that, he's trying to create the justification to then release him. And the defense attorneys essentially articulated how, oh, we're going to go ahead and have him live with his grandmother in Gainesville, Virginia, as opposed to back at home in Woodbridge, Virginia. And from there, the grandma is going to monitor her grandson while he continues to go on Reddit, to go on CommieTube, and to continue to radicalize if this is even the patsy that they want us to believe is the actual pipe bomber. So even if you were to take as true that he is the pipe bomber, like, why would the judge release him, right?
Does any part of this
There's just so many
sense?
Things that... All right, it doesn't end there, Harrison. I'm just giving you the appetizer. Can I continue?
Please.
So, amidst all that, I mean, it's hilarious. Where do I start? So, initially, when I sit down in the back of the courtroom, I see the family, you know, attending, and no one's really wearing a mask. But then, as they stand up and turn around, you can see what appeared to be the father. Put a mask on, and some of the other folks put on a mask. So what's that all about? Are they trying to avoid recognition of who they are, or are they worried about the COVID flu or the flu in general as they turn their face from the judge towards the back of the room?
Well, that's interesting. The fact that his family is there tells us something, right? Did you get a sense of how the family felt being there? Because it seems to me like the family is not buying the story that this guy is the pipe bomber. I have the image that you might be able to see that. Where did the family look like they were pissed off and there to you know, free their son? Or just what was the... Because, you know, if this guy was guilty, the family might not show up. So the fact that the family's there means they probably think he's innocent, right?
I guess that's one way to analyze it. I sat two rows back and... To be honest, I couldn't make either way, right? Yeah. I couldn't give you any leaning either way, whether or not their indications, body language. It just, there was not enough for me to make it, you know, to make a determination either way. What I did do is I spoke with an individual that was sitting right in front of me, and he said that he had worked for the Brian Cole Jr.'s father, which would have been Brian Cole Sr. for over two decades, I think is what he said. And when I asked him, I just neutrally asked him, like, what do you think? What do you think's going on here? What's your take? And he said that, you know, Brian Cole Jr. is like a 30-year-old kid in a 30-year-old body in a 15-year-old kid's brain.
Right.
And so, okay, let's play this out. If he's that case, autistic 15-year-old kid, or maybe less capable than that, because he kind of pointed to his head. Even if he did everything that has been alleged that he did, what are the chances of him being exonerated due to incompetence, right? So then he's not going to be convicted, even though America was off-gassed and said, oh, we found the pie bomber, and this is it, and he's the only one. One other thing that I wanted to mention that was really important that I picked up on two or three occasions, the defense attorney, without prodding, because I don't think in the filing that they alleged a conspiracy, I don't think anybody has been talking about that there's a conspiracy. They've only alleged that it's Brian Cole Jr. that was involved in the pipe bombing, but yet the defense attorney on multiple occasions said that wanted to stress that he was, if it was him, he was acting alone and not conspiracy. So to me, that automatically triggers the spidey senses to say, why are you even mentioning that? Is he the patsy for the entire operation? Okay. So that the actual pipe bomber, because I mean, the theories are his devices could have been used by the actual placement of the pipe bombs, right? Other devices that are in credit cards associated with him were the ones that purchased the bomb making equipment, according to the FBI, right? It's not necessarily him. It's his credit cards and his devices that are in the proximity of what the FBI alleges. So then you have to go one step further and determine whether or not he was with his own device. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. But it also it seems like the basis upon which they arrested him in the first place was very thin. We reported on it, you know, when they first announced it, but it was just this sort of collection of things that it was like, well, a couple months ago he bought pipes and then he was in this area.
Well, no, I think the first instance of purchasing the bomb making material was back in 2019, but yet his motive is unclear, or even he was mad at the 2020 election results.
Right.
How can you be mad at the 2020? Just the first time I went on with Alex Jones, I think the day of the charging on InfoWars, how can you be so good as an autistic kid to forecast that the outcome of the 2020 election is going to be what you didn't want it to be? And for that reason, you spent a year plus putting together things as an autistic genius, right? One of the coworkers, right? 20 years with the family is basically saying, how can he pre-plan and like so advanced to start putting together the pipe bomb to then place it on January 5th?
And so
meanwhile,
but you know,
the judge wants to release him, it looks like, and the decision was going to be made today, but he ended up, we went into recess and the judge actually came back and said, he's going to make the decision tomorrow.
Oh.
So if that's the case, he didn't want the media hype or whatever. And then, so, to cover on that. And I'm guessing that this kid's going to be released and he's going to be under restrictions, probably GPS, right? Cameras, et cetera. But let's face it. I mean, what kind of risk does this place on the family and him by releasing this kid?
My first thought, I guess it doesn't really matter if he's released or in jail.
I guess Jeffrey Epstein kind of comes to mind, synonymous to that.
Read my mind, exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, if they release him, I would be very concerned he would end up shooting himself with a shotgun twice in the back of the head in one of those forms of suicide that we hear so much about.
At least a dozen times.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not advocating for that, obviously.
No, it's like that's what
we
don't
want that to
happen. We want to protect this guy.
But if he's part of a conspiracy, let's just say he is part of it, and he's part of a conspiracy, those co-conspirators that may or may not have been in that courtroom with him or may or may not have been family members, I'm not saying either way. I'm just saying if there was one, they sure as heck want him released to the public because then he might just suicide himself.
Well,
case is over. And it doesn't end there. I just sent you a clip of what I asked the prosecutor, Jocelyn Ballantyne.
All right, cruel.
I caught her on the way out of the courtroom towards her walking back to, I think, her office.
Okay, and this is the head prosecutor of the D.C. pipe bomber case?
Yeah, Jocelyn Ballantyne, who unlawfully politically persecuted and prosecuted General Flynn. She was the assistant U.S.
That's
attorney
right.
for that. She was also the assistant U.S. attorney that went after the Nancy Pelosi's political target, the Proud Boys,
and tried
in order to facilitate the cover-up of the Fed surrection.
And tried to get
So now she's on the case to go ahead and find a patsy, supposedly.
This is the woman that tried to get the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers to blame January 6th on President Trump. She tried to force them to
Proud Boys.
Rope
yep.
Trump into it. Yeah. And she's still not only employed by Trump, but is now handling this
incredibly important January 6th case. The deep state.
If you don't mind, can you play the clip? Because I confronted her.
Let's roll this. So this is Ivan Raiklin confronting the lead prosecutor, this deep state operative on the January 6th case. Let's watch.
Hey, Miss Ballantyne. Ivan Raiklin.
Ivan, I know you.
How do you know me, ma'am?
Well, you sat through several trials that I also may have sat.
Such as?
Had a good day in the gray,
such as the one against General Flynn? Such as the one against Enrique Tarrio of the Proud Boys? How do you expect America to believe that this gentleman, Brian Cole, is the pipe bomber, considering your work on the General Flynn case, considering your work on the case against Mr. Enrique Tarrio and the rest of the Proud Boys? Care to comment? Ma'am? Do you find it surprising that you still have a job at the Department of Justice? Do you think you survived because Ed Martin ended up going to the Department of Justice, Maine, as opposed to being the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia? Did you have any involvement in that? Did you work with some of the former Senate staff of senior influential Senate leaders that are at the U.S. Attorney's Office to make sure that Mr. Ed Martin would not be the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia? To expose your involvement in covering up for the Fed's insurrection? Ma'am? Care to comment? So you're trying to make us believe that this kid spent 2 years collecting pipe bomb material in 2019, and his motive, because he didn't like the outcome of the 2020 election before the 2020 election primaries even began? Did I misunderstand the filing? Ma'am? What other questions do I have? What other questions does America have? Do you find it strange that the defense attorney mentioned on several occasions that this was not a conspiracy, meaning maybe it was a conspiracy because you two didn't even mention whether or not it was a conspiracy? A lot of questions. Your credibility is very low amongst most of America considering your work on those last two trials. And I'd be very shocked to hear that you're going to continue to work at the Department of Justice after this goes and posts. So I guess all I can say is belated Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, and we'll see about the fate of your position at the Department of Justice. We'll have to ask Miss Judge Jeanine whether or not she wants to retain you or not. Care to comment? No? How about you, sir? Care to comment?
Don't work for the deep state.
All right. Stay warm. Stay warm.
He's just watching you all.
Okay, that, ladies and gentlemen, was the longest walk of Miss Ballantyne's life. Oh, man. That must have been brutal to have to ignore Ivan Raiklin like that. She knew who you were, Ivan. She knew who you were. The deep state marauder. Of course she knows who you are.
Wow. Oh, that was so therapeutic. So we're just waiting on Judge Jeanine now to make a decision on whether or not she's going to continue to hold that person in that office.
The studied silence of the politician, really something to behold. But you sort of said something tantalizing there. What is this about Ed Martin? So really, she's occupying the office Ed Martin should have, isn't she?
No. So Judge Jeanine is the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia.
Oh.
One of the reasons
we got
my
emergency information coming in.
Hey, guys, bring the chair and get me on air.
All right, Alex is coming in studio. We got some emergency information. Bad news? Good news?
It's not good.
Okay.
It's good that we know. I was about to leave, but I just figured
I just shot a report on, but I figured I should just come tell you is what I saw Ivan on. So I'll give a share.
All right. Looks like we've got some breaking news that we're going to hear in just a second. So make sure to share that link and spread the word. Ivan, thank you very much for your coverage. I'm sorry we're going to have to...
Have Ivan stay with us.
Ivan, you want to stay with us?
Yeah.
Break this?
Yeah, hey, Alex, you want me to stay on? I can stay on.
The crew could just do that. They could just bring me an earpiece. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I can stay on.
I guess I can walk back in there and get one. It's fine.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? I can just make this comment, and Ivan can comment on it. I don't hear a piece, guys. Just I get it. I don't even know he's even back there. So, General Flynn called the producer right when my show ended at 3 and said it's an emergency. I need to call him. And we had about a 40-minute conversation. And he's gotten a lot of intel on what's going on in the White House, who's involved, what's happening, but... It's really bad news, but we have to decide what we're going to do. He's going to come on at 11 a.m. tomorrow and discuss it. But there are people at the highest levels of the White House below Trump basically preparing enemy lists and targeting lists of not just us but our families. And they got the information through the chatter and what's going on. So they know that the public's waking up demanding action. And so they're basically lining up ways to neutralize people during this movement. And, you know, Flynn can obviously talk to Trump and talks to him, but he's very concerned about Trump himself and what's going on. And so this is the worst news I've ever had in 31 years on air. But we're trying to calibrate how to respond to it, how to deal to it. We don't think Trump overall is bad, but I think the smartest thing is, once this information comes out, to have a major public peaceful uprising to draw attention to it, to deal with it. But there's other options there, but we're not going to get caught flat-footed with this. I'm not trying to be cryptic here. I'm going to have General Flynn himself. You saw the letter. We can pull it up on InfoWars, maybe, or I'll just do it on my phone. You know, he put out a letter today that was just the opening shot on this and the information that he's discovered that's going on. And it's, I mean, it is Susie Wiles, it is Todd Blanche, and they are complete globalist operatives. So there it is. Enough is enough. General Flynn tells President Trump 2016 must be the year of accountability, but this is just beyond that. And I'm going to let the general say as much as he wants tomorrow. He's still, he's asking me what I thought he should say, and we were finishing each other's sentences on this. So the good news is we're aware of what's going on, and we understand what's going on, but it's really, really bad. And so the deep state's not planning to wait until 2028 if they can steal the election. They're obviously going to have some type of preparatory event, a false flag or something ahead of that. But they are deliberately creating dossiers on key people in the Liberty Movement and their families and everything else, similar to like Raikland's targeting list of just who are the deep staters. Well, they're doing that to us. So they know that the public's rejecting all this, and it's just completely outrageous this is going on. And so General Flynn will be on tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central with this information. I'm going to punch out of here, and then I can listen once I'm walk out of here, because I don't have an earpiece, to what Raikland has to say. But people know I don't hype stuff up. Also talked to Flynn. He was confirming a lot of what we thought. There's definitely bad actors feeding certain individuals information, which they believe is real, to try to undermine things. There's a lot of major movement happening right now. And you've got all the Somali stuff coming out and Bondi promising she'll do something. Nothing's going to come because it all goes up to the Democrats. And if any dominoes fall, they all go down. That's why they can't ever have any prosecution of anything, because this is the takedown of the country. But it was Flynn's not a drama queen, obviously, and knows what he's talking about. And it was, I mean, we're really just figuring out the best ways to deal with this and, you know, how to address this. But at the end of the day, you know, offense and the info war is the way to go. And there can be no sacred cows in this. And so this is it. So you guys, God bless you. I'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. We got Brandon Morello in the morning. You come on. Then we're going to do 9 to past midnight tomorrow Central. So hopefully Ivan can join us then. But believe me, Flynn's going to decide what he's going to say tomorrow. But it was a very interesting call. Let's just say I wanted to throw up after the conversation. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay. So you've just heard it, folks. I can
say I'm not sure I've ever seen Alex in the mood that I just saw him in. That was a little bit devastating. Ivan, your reaction?
I mean, you know him better than I do. You're with him every day, so I can't benchmark of what his baseline is, but that's very sobering to hear.
Well, we know that the Democrats are fairly open in their intentions. I mean, they say they're making lists of, you know, Trump administration officials, and basically they're telling the Army that, you know, if you follow Trump's orders, you'll be prosecuted for war crimes. They're telling his associates, you know, if you go along with this, we'll prosecute you when it's all done. But that's first I've heard about lists involving non-political figures, non-military figures. But we know that's where the Democrats want to take this. I mean, that's why we are so intense.
To take that a little bit further in the analysis, that it doesn't surprise me because they've already created their list, if you will. And when I say they, the deep state in general. So David Buckley, the staff director for the Pelosi January 6th FedSurrection cover-up committee, that committee was created in order to create that list, the right. Patriot target list, right? And as part of that, they then handed it over to the DOJ in the form of Jack Smith, right? And so I think, and I've said this over the last few weeks, that come January 17th, which is less than 3 weeks from now, is when John Brennan's protege becomes the governor of Virginia and her attorney general, who's basically threatened his political opponents with violence and slaughtering, essentially, according to the text messages, Jay Jones, that is. And so if you're John Brennan and your protege is now the governor of Virginia, you have immunity effectively with any state charge, right? With a pardon, right? And so with that, they can use that influence and leverage to make sure that John Brennan isn't criminally prosecuted, at least in the state of Virginia. And then by extension, they can go ahead and work with the Commonwealth's attorneys in Northern Virginia, whether it's Fairfax County, Arlington, Alexandria, Loudoun County. Those are similar to your Alvin Braggs and Fannie Willis's. So imagine Letitia James, Fannie Willis, Alvin Bragg, and Jack Smith, and the J6 committee's evidence that they created and concocted is now sent over to the AG in Virginia for persecution, prosecution, lawfare. That's what I expect to occur on January 17th. And if Todd Blanche is enabling, allowing that to happen, he's just going to carry their water from the federal level to protect himself.
Can you stay with us for five more minutes? Ivan, I know you got to go. Can you stay with us for the next five?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll be back with Ivan Raiklin to break this down more, folks. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work, so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and in Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustained energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6 and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better and, you know, for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong. Tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the Fruit Punch flavor. And by the way, today's the one of the last days where you can get 60% off on Ultramethylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexshowstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four is straight ahead.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.